Praise the Lord. Message number 163. The title of the message, Watchman, Part 5. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Anoint my lips, O Lord, and put words to your people and direct the message in the way that you want it to go and flow. O Lord, I pray that the purpose of sending this message to raise up watchmen and watchwomen, workers, to care and do the work that is needed in your church in order that your work will be expanded and your church will reach the lost and will be a good testimony to others. I pray, Lord, that those who are waiting to hear this message of yours and those who are in need of it, make a way that this message will reach them on time. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Nehemiah and chapter 12. In this chapter, we can read that they had dedicated the wall of Jerusalem, and in the day of dedication, the people were divided into two groups. They marched over the wall of Jerusalem. One they went into the east, the other into the west, and when they finally they met, and on that day there were great celebrations going on, and there are certain things had happened on that day. People were appointed, watchmen and watchmen were appointed to do the work of God. Let's read from verse 44 to verse 47. At that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits and tithes. From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the singers and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the singers and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portion for the singers and gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. Now, here we found that Nehemiah's watchman continued to establish all the mandatory arrangements to make the people settle peacefully in and around Jerusalem, and he had given responsibilities and appointments so that the function of each and every member of the community will finally glorify the Lord. Nehemiah had full understanding and a clear mind that he needed to give a responsibility to all the people and to everyone among the priests and the Levites. You need to watch that everyone inside the church should be appointed to do certain responsibilities in the body of Christ. I mean, those who are committed their life to God, they should not be left without doing certain responsibility. I am speaking about those who fit for the criteria of the approved workers. There will be among us people who have committed their life to God. they are clean, sanctified, and they walk with the Lord. Such kind of people, we should not allow them inside us without a responsibility. We should delight with such kind of people, and those people, they'll be motivated and equipped to do the work of God. And the delight of those who are committed is to serve the Lord and to serve others and being a good example to others to bring them to Christ. We can read, as we have read in the Nehemiah chapter 12 and from verse 44 onward, there were arrangements that there are much contribution going on, tithes and first fruits and contributions. They were need to appoint people to be in charge of the storerooms and for the contributions. And it mentioned very beautifully that in verse 44 that the people, they start to bring from the fields around Jerusalem and from around the towns, and they were happy to bring to the storerooms, to the temple, to the church, because they were happy with the ministering of priests and Levites. Now, when you do your ministry well, when everyone inside the church serve the Lord and do the ministry and his service well, that will encourage others to follow Christ. I'm not speaking here that the people, when they will see your life and your ministry, that they will bring their tithe and first fruits and contributions. Not only that, but what I want to say here, if they find you giving your life fully to God, they will find it very easy that they will follow your example. It's not only me, not only the pastor, not only the overseer should do the ministry well, but every workers, every minister, every Levite, every priest, every one among us who commits his life to God is a royal priest to the Lord. We need all of us to do our ministry well so that others will see our example when we serve the Lord, when we serve the Lord and we serve his people well, when we wash their feet, when we teach them the right way, when we follow them up, then we find it smoothly and spontaneously. The people would give their heart and life fully to God and spontaneously, because they will see our good example and follow the Lord. In verse 45, it says they perform the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the singers, the gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. So here we need to do the ministry well, service plus holiness, purification. The people will not only see your performance, but they will see also how you are doing in life. Are you living a holy life or no? They will see that as well. And they will see everyone in the church is involved. Singers, gatekeepers, ushers, praise and worship. In each and every congregation, not only one, two people should do the ministry, not only the pastor should stand, but the rest should live in holiness, and they need to get involved in the ministry. We have read in the verse 44 that the people, they are bringing contribution, first fruits and tithes. Nowadays, in the church, people, maximum they are giving their tithes. But the first fruits is also required. First salary, first increase, first income. First income or first increase or first salary in each year. In addition to that, there are also much contributions for other requirement, other kinds of offerings. When everyone get involved and commit his life to God, then the Lord will bless more. The tithes will be given to the workers. The first fruits will be given to the priests, the ministers. Thus, here the point. The church, God wants to expand it. But our life, our example, as a watchman and woman who wants to do the ministry well, and wants that our life is clean, the service of purification, that will encourage others to join the Lord, to be part of the church, and start to serve Him. So, what we need to do here, as a watchman and woman, we need to be sure that everyone who is committed to the Lord, he get appointment and ministry. The ministry and the service will discipline us. And as we are committed to serve the Lord with the ministry that the Lord entrusts to us, and as we obey, the Lord will bless us and He will add also to us. And as we continue to serve the Lord will add to us more people. They will start to give their life to God as they see we are giving our life to God. In verse 46, for long ago in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the singers and for the song of praise and thanksgiving to God. So here's various kinds of ministry. People responsible on the storerooms, on the treasury, on the contributions, on maintaining certain contribution. Sometimes there are clothes given, there are material things, instruments given to the Lord by the people. There must be certain people to keep them, to store them in the right way, in the right place, and to maintain them. There must be treasurers who are responsible to collect the finances and count and keep records in a keen way. Also, there must be ushers, gatekeepers, who welcome the people and entertain them and introduce to them the church and make them comfortable in our midst. There must be people who are responsible on the praise and worship, on the schedules, keeping the requirements of the praise and worship team. All these are important. It's not only the pastor who is doing it from the beginning to the end, but there must be people. First, there must be people committed to God. From those committed, we need to find people and appoint them to watch over the affairs of the church. Verse 47, so in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, at the time of Nehemiah, Zerubbabel was the last descendant and he is the last king. Although he was not announced as king, but the leader, but he was the descendant of David. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portion for the singers and gatekeepers, in addition to the tithes and first fruit contribution to support other ministry. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. What the Levites received, they were receiving the tithes. They tithe this tithe they received, and this will go to the priest. the priest will receive the tithe of tithe, and the day of the priest, they will receive the first fruit. So you need to be watchful. This arrangement shall be taking place in our mid. We'll go and proceed further in chapter 13, and we will start from verse 1 to verse 3. What we are speaking here is the final reforms of Nehemiah, and as he was a watchman, he discerned that certain things need to be accomplished and taken place so that the church will be stabilized and will be expanding. And this, as we are discussing here, is a good teaching for a proper application that will help our church to expand. And I believe that as you hear the message, you are encouraged, and the Lord will use His word to motivate you to be a watchman and woman that God will use to expand His church and reach the lost and expand His kingdom. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. That is on the same day. You see that on that day, the day that dedicated the wall, on that day the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. And there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. When they went to the word of God and they read it on that day, the same day that they were appointed director for singers and gatekeepers and people on the storerooms, they were reading the word of God, and the word of God directed them for certain measures to protect the church, to keep the church inside healthy atmosphere. We find that there are certain people excluded from among the assembly, those who are of foreign descent. The point here is not that you exclude people, but people who are not willing to repent, and their presence in our midst will cause harms and will affect others, they need to be excluded. We go to the message. Who are those people? Moabite and Ammonites. From where they came, the Ammonite and the Moabite, they are descendants of Lot. How it happened? We know that the two daughters of Lot, after they left Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were living with their father in the mountain, they were away from the people, and they were thinking that how they will have descendants. So what they decided, to give their father wine, and he was drunk, they slept with him. Now, we may reach people who are drunkard, who practice immoralities, that the father or daughter may sleep with the father. Now, we need to reach all kinds of people with all kinds of sin, because Christ loves everyone. And we'll do our best that we will lead them into the way of God, and we need to be patient for them to repent. But when it comes that they are not winning at all and they want to keep this way of wrongdoing inside our church and our assembly, then they will affect others. They will be a bad example to others, and it end up that others who want to follow God, they will find themselves doing sin. Such kind of people who are delighting in the drinking, immoralities, not willing to repent, they need to be excluded. What mentioned here in verse 2, because they had not made the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Now people who are not wishing us good, not willing to contribute anything because they are against all our measures, we cannot keep them inside. They will hinder us, they will curse us, and they are not example to others. We have read that the people, they brought their contribution because they were happy with the ministering priests and Levites. Now how about those people who are not willing to contribute anything? They don't want to give anything to God and to the church. They don't want to be a blessing to others. And in their heart, their soul, their spirit is against of what we are saying and we are doing. Now you get the point here, why they exclude them. Such kind of people, we need to show patience. You try with them one time, two times, three times, but finally, there's a time that the Holy Spirit will really convict us that we need to put off our hands, and if they will go away, let them go away, because they will not be finally a blessing to us or the lost souls whom God wants to bring to the church. What they did, those people, they hired Balaam to call a curse down on them, and we know the story of Balaam, that King Balak, the king of the Moabite, when he saw the people of God, he sent for Balaam to curse them. God told him, don't go. But when they came, he told them, Balaam told them, the messenger of Balak to him, God told me not to go, but I will ask God. Balaam was wishing to get some gift or some material things from Balak. So he said to them, let me ask God. He was looking that God would change his mind and let him go. God told him, you go, but don't speak anything without me is telling you to speak. God was in full control on him when he sent him, but God was not happy with him because the motive of Balaam was wrong. And you know that instead of cursing, God turned the curse into a blessing. Balaam, instead of cursing the people, he blessed them, because he cannot curse the people of God. Now we know also that Balaam later on was killed by the Israelites when they make a battle to take vengeance. They killed Balaam. Now, what Balaam did with the Israelites? What is wrong that he went and he finally blessed them? But let us read what Balaam did, so we will understand what kind of people we should not keep inside our churches, inside our congregations. Let's read Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1-3. Sometimes you may ask what Balaam did. Yes, Balaam, he was looking for money that he will be rewarded by Balak. There are many who preach the word and serve for the sake of money. They should not be in the middle of of us. These are the kind of people that we should not keep inside. But Balaam did more than this. Let us see what he did. Book of Numbers, chapter 25, verse 1 to 3. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their God. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshipping the Baal of Beor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. Now here, what had happened, that although Balaam was not able to curse the people, but the people was cursed because they have sinned against the Lord. How they sinned? By sexual immorality. Balaam cannot curse them, but he motivated the Moabite to entice the Israelite with the affairs of women. So God will be angry with them, and God himself will punish them. And that's what happened, really. And we can read that in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 14. What Balaam did, really, bad. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14. That was part of the letter to the church in Pergamum. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam. What is the teaching of Balaam? Who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immoralities. So here, what is the application here for us today? Now, people who are still promoting dating, calling girls, calling boys, texting, mixing boy and girls together, going out, and how it starts with the parties, with celebration, unnecessarily worldly things, food, invitation, then immoralities. Such kind of people, they need to be taught. Explain well to them that these things would bring sin in our midst and will bring immorality, and these immoralities will bring the curse of God in their life. And if we keep such kind of people, they will infect the rest of the people inside the church. People, they will say, what is wrong if the girl is wearing short or her armpit exposed or her breast? That will entice others to do wrong. What is wrong? The boy will go with the girl. That is the first step. But you cannot stop the next step when you allow the first one to happen. Even men, they should not wear short in public, that their thighs, or they will wear some kind of shirts that their shoulders and big part of her breast is exposed. Because as women entice men when they see their body exposed, men also entice women when their bodies are exposed. Such things need to be excluded from our midst. People need to be taught. Those who are not willing to be taught or corrected and follow the teaching of Balaam, and they try to push it and make it acceptable thing inside our church and our congregations, those people are of foreign descent. They are not of God. And finally, we need to exclude them outside the congregation. So, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, God wants us to watch that certain people cannot be part and kept inside the church unless they are repenting and transformed. People who carry false teaching, allowing drinking, allowing immoralities, parties, affairs between boys and girls, and affairs that is hidden, and people who cover these affairs, they should not be part of our congregation. Or such people, such categories, if they are not willing to repent, they are not of God, and they need, as a watchman, we need to recognize these things. We not allow it, and those who are not willing to repent and they try to promote it, we need to put them out. We will in this message we will satisfy with such amount, and we will continue in the next message, Nehemiah chapter 13 from verse 4 to the end. Now let's pray, let's commit to God our life to God. Let's ask the Lord discernment. Ask the Lord discernment. Sometime when we are not aware of the danger of certain things because of lack of discernment, the Word of God shows us why certain people had been excluded. When we go to the Word of God, when we expand the Word of God, then we find that we are called to be discerning, skillful watchmen and women who can see sin, who can see destructive power, who can see dangers inside our church, and we need to protect. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us your ways. You guide us and you help us, you support us, you strengthen us. I pray in the name of Jesus that the message of purpose, the purpose of sending it, shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. And I pray that these things, wrongdoing, we need each and every worker should have discernment. I pray for discernment upon the workers, the Levites, the priests, the pastors, the leaders. Oh God, give them discernment so that the flocks, the new believers, the sheep of yours, oh Lord, to be protected. I pray for right people to be appointed in each and every ministry, in each and every congregation. And I pray for more workers to be raised up by you, faithful workers who delighting to do the ministry and the service of God. Lord, bless us, O God. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.